We're going to talk this evening about Christ's soon coming. We read about that in Revelation 22, verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. And I'm going to start this evening with some questions. How many of you think that Christ could come yet this week? We got day and a few hours left. Anybody here think that he could come yet this week? What about this month? You think that it's at least within the realm of possibility that Christ come this month? We got one hand, two, three, few, a little tentative maybe. What about this year, before the year is ended? Anybody think that it's possible that Christ might still come in 2011? A few more hands. All right. How many would think that Christ would come yet in your lifetime? Okay, quite a few more hands. Still not everybody. Going back to the first question I asked, you're going to have to give some answers, I guess, out loud now. Why don't you think, those of you who didn't raise your hand, why don't you think that Christ could come yet this week?
Because all the signs of the times have it.
Such as? Mention one of them, maybe?
The Antichrist hasn't come yet, the world hasn't.
Okay, good answer. I think you had your hand up, too?
Yeah, persecution hasn't.
All right. The Bible talks about terrible persecution before Christ comes. So there are things that have to happen yet. And those are good answers. Those are the answers that I expected. But another question. What would you think if I told you that Christ was going to come Sunday, 2 days from now? Bert? I think my first name was Harold. What if I told you that Christ did come last week? You'd probably look at me a bit askance, wouldn't you? Well, that's what I'm going to tell you this evening. Christ did come last week, and he is going to come Sunday. And my name isn't Harold. Not camping either. When we talk about Christ coming, then usually we think about Christ coming at the end of the world. His personal, visible coming at the end of all things. And certainly, there are a lot of things that have to happen before that takes place. Mentioned the Great Tribulation, coming of Antichrist. There's a lot that has to happen. And that may even make us wonder whether it's possible for Christ to come yet this year. All that has to happen would suggest that there's going to be a fairly long period of time before he appears with his saints and his angels on the clouds of heaven, destroys this present world with fire, brings in the new heavens and the new earth, and takes us home to be with himself. No question that is not going to happen Sunday, and that didn't happen last week. No question about it. Although I would add that the signs of Christ's coming certainly indicate that his personal, visible return at the end of all things is much, much nearer than many people think. This year we've had, in the United States anyway, we've had a record number of deaths as a result of tornadoes. There's been, in the last couple of years, unbelievable numbers of earthquakes, and some of them of a magnitude that have rarely, if ever, been seen. And those are signs of Christ's coming, and the number of them, the magnitude of those signs, are all indications that Christ's coming is, in terms of months and years, very, very near. And a reminder too, of course, that we have to be ready for his coming. And that's one of the things, Reverend Marcus talked about that last night, but that's one of the things we have to think about in connection with Christ's soon return. The application to us of the fact that Christ is coming quickly is exactly that. Watch, pray, be ready. If, for example, Christ comes yet this year, some of you thought that was possible, that may mean, it will mean, that you're not going to have the opportunity to marry, have a family of your own. And being ready means that you're willing to give that all up for the sake of meeting Christ and being with him when he comes again. That's part of being ready. So that's what we usually think of when we think of Christ's return and of the fact that he's coming quickly. Tend to measure in terms of months and years, tend to think only of his personal, visible return at the end of all things. And I would add too that that is the most important thing when we talk about the coming of Christ. His return at the end of the ages will be the end of sin. He'll bring about the eternal glory of his church. Be that wonderful day when we're together with all God's people forever and ever. Hard to imagine even how blessed that day will be. And I'm not surprised either that when you think of the coming of Christ, that's the first or even the only thing that comes to your mind. But I want to talk about the fact this evening that there is more to the coming of Christ than just that personal, visible return of Christ with his saints and angels at the end of all things. And I want to mention especially four things that are part of the coming of Christ, and that are happening as we're sitting here. We have to understand that when we talk about the coming of Christ, the Bible always talks in terms of Christ being in the process of coming now. It's not just that he will come, he is coming. That's the emphasis in God's word. He's on the way already. He's not the, when we think of the coming of Christ, we mustn't think of him sitting in heaven waiting for that day when God sends him again. He's already on the way. And in fact, the signs that we talk about when we talk about the coming of Christ are signs in that sense of the word. Most of us don't ride trains, I guess. Maybe I should use the example of a plane. If you're at an airport waiting for a plane to come, then you look for certain signs. Maybe you look for the contrail Maybe if it's nighttime, you look for the lights of the plane in the sky. Maybe listen for the sound of the engines. But those are signs of the coming of the plane in the same way that these signs are signs of the coming of Christ. They're part of His coming. They're caused by His coming. See what I'm talking about? They're not just like road signs that say Christ is coming, but they're part of His coming. They're the result of His coming. The noise of the plane's engines means that the plane is within hearing distance. And that's the way it is with these signs. All the signs of Christ's coming say He's not very far away. If you listen, you can hear Him. And that's the first thing I want you to understand this evening. That Christ is coming, and that the signs speak of that. Sometimes I've heard them described as the sound of His footsteps. And that's a good description. That's really what they are. If you're listening to the news, listening to those signs as they're talked about in the news, then you should hear in them the sound of Christ's feet as He comes nearer and nearer and nearer. Now, because that's true, Christ's coming includes more. Remember, He's on the way. He's in the process of coming. His coming includes more than just that final appearance of Christ at the end of all things. And there are four things that I want to mention. First is the preaching of the gospel. Something that we talked about in our discussion groups. That's why I mentioned it first. Think about what we discussed. That when the gospel is preached, then Christ comes so near us, that we actually hear His voice in the preaching of the gospel. But that's part of His coming. He says that, in fact, wherever two or three are gathered in My name, I'm there in the midst of them. He comes through the preaching of the gospel. And when the gospel is preached, then the same thing happens as happens at the end of the world. Judgment and salvation. You can't just sit there when the gospel is preached and nothing happen. Either you're hardened by it, or by the grace of God, the gospel works by the power of God's grace in your heart, and God brings you salvation and eternal life through the preaching of the gospel. You think of that Sunday. And what I'm saying is that when you're sitting in church this coming Lord's Day and the gospel is preached, you'd better be ready. Not just ready to hear the gospel, but ready to meet Christ in very much the same way that if you're alive when He returns at the end of the ages, you'll meet Him then and hear His voice then. Don't just go to church casually and thoughtlessly, but go watching, waiting, praying, ready. See what I mean? More to the coming of Christ than just that return at the end of all things. Then there's the work of His Spirit. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to John 14. Jesus actually says here that when the Spirit comes to work in our hearts, comes to bring us God's grace, that He comes So the work of the Spirit and the coming of the Spirit is part of Christ's coming. John 14, verses 16, 17, and 18. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That's the Holy Spirit, as I think you all understand. He shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And then notice this next verse, verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So Jesus says in so many words there, that when he gives us his Spirit, he comes. And that's no different, essentially, really, from his coming at the end of the world. You can see that if you think about the fact that when the Spirit comes and works in your heart, he puts the life of heaven in your heart. In a real sense of the word, you go to heaven through the work of the Spirit. You understand something of the mysteries and the blessedness of heaven? You experience something of that? All through the work of the Spirit. And because the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, puts the life of heaven itself inside of you. Coming of Christ. And that means too, of course, that praying for Christ's coming means praying for the work of the Spirit. It's not just some abstract prayer that Christ will come again at the end of the world, but it's the prayer, work in my heart by the Holy Spirit. Work the life of heaven in my heart. Make me live here on earth already the life of heaven. Come. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come through the work of the Holy Spirit. That's number two. Number three is the fact that Christ comes through all the events of history, and especially through the judgments that God executes. And I mean that Christ brings to pass what's happening. Christ came today. In Japan, there was a very minor earthquake there. I think 5.7. Seven people injured. Didn't amount to a whole lot. But that was Christ coming. As much as that huge earthquake that practically destroyed Japan some months ago. I suppose you could think of it this way, that some months ago he came and he took the island of Japan, and he shook it. Not quite as hard as he's going to shake it at the end of the world. When he shakes it, then there won't be anything left. But he did it. Today he just tapped it with his finger. But it was him. And you have to see that as part of his coming. And of course, when it happens right under our feet, then we have to be ready. Earthquakes, floods, famines, all those things. War, what Jesus calls in Matthew 24, rumors of war, a lot of that going around. Unrest, lawlessness, all those things are the result of Christ's coming. And when he comes, you understand, it's his own presence that makes those things happen. He comes to this sin-cursed world, and his holy presence as the Son of God kind of makes this world fall apart. And that's what you have to see happening in the news and in all that's taking place. So Christ came today, and I'm not herald. You see what I mean? From that point of view, Mr. Camping is heretic. Mr. Camping was dead wrong. But there is a sense in which Christ is always coming, in which every day is the day of the Lord, the day of His coming. One more thing, and this has to do with what I said about Christ coming last week. He comes also through death. John 14 again. Look at the first verses of John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. See what I'm talking about? That young father who was so tragically killed in that car accident last week, died in that car accident because Christ came. Christ came for him. And for him was the end of the world too. Never going to see this world again. It's a day of judgment for him, much as it will be for us at the end of all things. He went to heaven, as far as we're able to judge that, as far as we're able to know, just as we will when Christ comes again. And that really brings this home. Brings it home to us that the coming of Christ can be very, very much nearer than we think. Certainly is our prayer that every one of us makes it safely home from this camp. It's not impossible. Not impossible that the end of the world, the judgment day, coming of Christ happens for us personally before we get back home. Home to our own families, home to our own congregation. We better be ready. Watching, waiting, praying. It doesn't matter from that point of view whether we're among those who are alive, still alive, at the time of Christ's return. I hope I am. I would love to see it. See all the events that have to take place. But that's in God's hands. What I do know is this, that Christ comes for us every day. He came last week. He came today. He's going to come Sunday. Comes every day in a very, very real sense of the word. It's all part of His coming as the Savior of His people and of His coming as the Judge of the nations. That's the reason why, as Reverend Marcus said last night, part of the reason why we have to be ready now. Not something that you can say, well, I'll enjoy myself for a while and then I'll settle down, get ready for Christ's return. We have to be ready. Ready for Him Sunday. Ready for Him if He comes for you, as He talks about in those first verses at John 14. I will come again and receive you unto myself. always, always ready. And there are two tests, I think, that you can take and apply to yourself in connection with that, to, by way of doing a little self-examination, by way of seeing whether you're watching and waiting and praying and ready for Christ's return. First has to do with your attitude. From one point of view, from our human viewpoint, the death of that young man last week is a tragedy. And I mentioned the possibility that some of us, perhaps because the end of the world comes, yet in our lifetimes, but maybe because Christ comes for us in one of the senses that we talked about this evening, that your attitude is exactly the attitude of Revelation 22. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I'd like to marry. I'd like to have a family. Perhaps a career of some kind. But it's not as important to me as the coming of my Savior. If I can't have that, but can go to be with Him, then that is more important to me. If it's the will of God that my life end at 17 or 18, that Christ comes for me, as He says in John 14, then that's what I want. Give up all the rest for that. That's what we'll have to do at the end of the world, you know. Give it all up. Everything we have here. But give it up for something much, much, much better. And I hope and pray that that is your attitude. That when you think of the coming of Christ, that is more important to you than life, than health, marriage, family, career, work, all of the rest. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Whenever it pleases you, whenever for me, that day arrives. That's one test, your attitude. You want Him to come, want to see Him more than anything else. But a man in our congregation, elderly man, who was talking about Harold Camping's predictions, and he said, I don't think that Christ is coming on May 21. I hope He does. If that's your attitude, then you have the right attitude. The other thing has to do with your life. Ask yourself this question. If I knew that Christ was coming for me tomorrow, would I change the way I live, the way I'm living? Would I have to get my house in order? I have some things I had to sort out before tomorrow. Being ready for Christ's coming, that's the test. It means that you wouldn't have to change a thing. That if He came tomorrow, you wouldn't have to say, but Lord, I need just a little bit more time because I got some things I got to take care of first. I've not been living the way I should. My spiritual house is a bit of a mess. Got to get things cleaned up. Not ready then. Ready means you are living. No matter how old you are, no matter who you are, it means you are living right here, right now, today, same way that you would be if he came today yet or tomorrow. It wouldn't make any difference in that respect. See? Then you can really say what the Word of God in Revelation 22 teaches us to say in response to Christ's promise that he'll come again and come quickly. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Think about it. And God bless you.